Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk production and distribution made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And remember, with our InvestTalk podcast, you can participate. The podcast is produced every weekday except holidays from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time. So just make your call and join in. You can talk directly with Steve or Justin at number 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278, and we'll be talking with you. And now today's InvestTalk podcast. You're listening to an encore presentation of InvestTalk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to InvestTalk. And this show is about above-average investing for the average investor, and your questions are welcome about any money matter during the hour. Or anytime, really, 24 hours a day on our anytime listener line, the same number, 888-99-CHART. And we'll check that line in just a minute. Today we're going to talk about millennials and those that are in this age group that have families members in this age group. Data shows that they're saving money, but are they managing it in the best possible way? We have four things millennials should know about money, about retirement. And that's going to be one of our main talking points. And we talked about approaching volatility for the market for 2017. We're likely going to see a lot more in 2017 than we did in 2016. Remember, we did see a lot of volatility at the beginning of the year last year, the worst January ever. And then it made all that up in the next few months. Then it was kind of a flat market. And I was looking at it today, and from January 1st to the election day, November 4th, was it? The stock market was flat. Not up, not down. Flat all that time. All the up move and all the big move we've seen has been since the presidential election. All the up move for the market. The positive return for the market has been since the market. And that's just November and December here. That's it. And it's been a pretty strong move in a short period of time. Anyways, are the millennials doing the right thing? We're going to have a lot of volatility. You know, should you be in 30 stocks? But should you be in 30 stocks or maybe should have alternative investments? Do you know what the alternative investment classes are? Private equity has been a top performer as a class for big institutional investors, but I would not suggest it for you. Private equity, there are many times business development corporations, and they're extremely high risk. And this is a new trend is registered private equities. And this is for qualified investors, very high risk. To be a qualified investor, you have to have a net worth of $1 million. And a lot of people are doing that because it's not so hard to get to $1 million when you own property in California. I can tell you that. Remember, it's net worth. So should you be in that? Should the millennials be in that? Should anybody? I'm going to say no. You're not expert enough. But it is an asset class that's not tied to the stock market. Another asset class not tied to the stock market. Collectibles, memorabilia, jewelry, art, cars, collectibles. And people say, well, I have investments in my cars. You know, I have old cars and they're very valuable, whatever. But, you know, for you and me, unless you have turned yourself into an expert in this area or any asset memorabilia area, don't even think about that. That's a loser. How about master limited partnerships? Now, these are ones, the public ones are very popular and have been for several years. Should you be in those? Because those are asset classes not tied to the market, too. Remember, we're talking about, you know, avoiding, diversifying a portfolio away from the stock market. So not everything is attached to the stock market. And the most common method that people diversify away from the stock market is their house. And that is an asset class, real estate. Master limited partnerships, though, man, you got to be real careful with those. You got to understand them. And most people don't understand them. They have different tax treatments. It is not an easy asset class to invest in. It sounds like it is. It feels like it is, but it's not really. What money matters are on your mind? Do you want to talk more about diversification? I'll talk about that. As always, we're up for any money questions on InvestTalk. So let's begin the Q&A. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hello, this is Carl from Cleveland, Ohio. I listen to you on a podcast. And my question is it better to invest in a dividend stock or a dividend ETF? Thank you.
Well, it's better if you put it that way, it would be the ETF because you have a diversification. You don't want to invest in one dividend stock. That's too risky. Now, if you ask me what would be a better way, I would tell you I would think a better way would be investing in a number of dividend-paying stocks. Because an ETF, a dividend-paying ETF, it could be full of stocks that are not good dividend payers or reliable, or maybe, you know, I can't tell you. You'd have to look at the ETF. But if you picked a group of dividend paying stocks, then you could pick the best of the best. And notice I'm not saying the highest yielding dividend, the highest paying dividend. Not at all. That's not the smart way to go. Remember, we have had seminars on this stuff. You want the dividend, the company that pays a good dividend, but has a history of increasing dividends, a history of stability, that they never drop the dividend, never lower the dividend, and you want them to be able to pay that dividend in the future. And that means you like to have a dividend payout ratio of about 60%. Payout ratio. That means they don't pay more than about 60% of their net earnings in the form of a dividend. There's ways to find these things and ways to research them. So it's not... The answer is no, you should do the ETF, not the individual dividend-paying stock, because it's high risk to buy one stock, even if it's the best stock in the world. Even if it's AT&T and they're 5% dividend, buying just one is risky. Risky. Four things millennials should know about retirement. That's one of our talking points today. Also, gas prices are going up in 7 states. So I thought I picked this out because it has some interesting numbers that I can share with you on how much we pay per gallon in taxes. And this is state taxes, not the federal tax, not city, county, or any other kind of excise tax or whatever tax, just the state tax. And everybody has to pay the federal tax, and then you got to pay sales tax. What really gets my goat on the gasoline tax is we pay 7% sales tax on tax. Because the gallon per gallon that you're paying, there's taxes built in that per gallon price already. State tax, federal tax. Then so you get a $45 bill, and then they add your state sales tax on top of that. So you're paying tax on tax. Does that sound fair to anybody? And the last one, do you know what a news dump is? A news dump. Well, I'm going to tell you what it is and how it's relating to the stock market, your investments. A news dump. What it is, when they do it, how it happens, and why. Those are the talking points we're going to discuss today. Judy in Thousand Oaks, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Thanks for calling.
I have a question about exchange-traded funds. Mm-hmm. Do they pay dividends?
Yes. If you buy an exchange-traded fund that has dividends, yes, they'll pay dividends, yes.
Okay.
There are some exchange-traded funds, Judy, that specialize in dividends.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't really got into exchange-traded funds.
I'm telling you, I think they're going to be, it's a really good way, Judy, to instantly get diversified in a particular sector or a particular, or an index or a country. Very good way to instantly get yourself, and you can get out anytime. Like you could trade it like a stock, and you can short ETFs if you want to.
Well, the one reason I was interested is because I don't really understand international like some of the other companies that I'm in individually, so I thought it'd be better.
Actually, it would be, because you'll have a good diversification. Judy, thanks for the call.
Hey, you're welcome.
This is InvestTalk, everybody. Remember, not all stocks and bonds Not all stocks and bonds is what we talk about. It's not, you can talk about anything financial. Bring any money question to me. How much should the average person have to reserve? Do you have a living trust? I mean, you know, how much money should you have set aside for emergencies? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. That's our Invest Talk, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, listener live.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, four things millennials should know about mutual funds and retirement. Of course, there's probably much more than four things. Have you ever noticed that the news, especially financial news, they always give you a list. Four things you should do, seven things, three things. It, you know, it's just a gimmick. That's all it is a gimmick. Make you focus, to make you focus on what they want, the point that they want to make. So, four things millennials should know about mutual funds and retirement. Number one, think about your time frame. Well, of course, if you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, you're in your 40s, where are you? Of course you're going to think about your time frame, no matter what, whether you're a millennial or not a millennial. How many years do you have left? And the problem is, the more years you have left, the less you're going to think about it, your retirement. Young people don't think about it. They don't. But you really should, but you don't. So that's one thing. Think about your time frame. Make tax efficiency a priority. In other words, stop paying taxes you don't have to. One way to do that is make sure you max out your 401k, your IRA, whatever you can to avoid some taxes. Now, the younger you are, you also want to think about, you know, tax efficiency also talks about earning money tax-free, and that's a Roth IRA, even though you pay taxes on the money you put in a Roth, or a Roth 401k. They do exist. Not everybody has one. Make sure you look at the fees carefully. One of the fees things that bothers me a lot is those target-dated funds. Those target-dated funds, those are funds of funds. It's a mutual fund that buys mutual funds. And, of course, both of them have fees. But they always tell you, but see, the target-dated fund fee is pretty small. Well, why should there be a fee at all? Why should you be paying two at all? Why not just one? So take a look at the fees. Be careful. And don't be dazzled by short-term performance. That's a very difficult situation. It's a trap. Because I've seen it so often over the years where people tell you how, you know, a mutual fund says, we are up 37% last year and top 10% of our group. So that makes everybody pour in money this year because of what it did last year. That's the absolute worst thing you can do, but they don't tell you that. Why is that the worst? Because you have to understand how they achieved that. Did they take extra risk to achieve that return? And is that same extra risk going to pay off this year? So looking at past performance 1 year is really not a good idea. You want multiple years. That'd be better. So those are some of the things everybody should consider, even though they're talking about millennials here. I think it applies to everybody. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, everybody. There are more than a handful of information resources on investtalk.com, and that's the entry portal for our risk analysis test. It's simple, easy. It's where you can sign up for InvestTalk Insiders program too. And, you know, it's not a free information. Invest Talk with two T's and investtalk.com.
What makes a stock fit into a certain category like emerging markets? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on Invest Talk? You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Dennis in Oakland. How are you doing, Dennis?
I'm doing great, Steve.
Thanks for
I'm 65, and I'm putting some money in the Roth IRA for the next 2 years, like $24K,
okay,
with my wife and I.
Okay.
And I think I should just do it. I don't need the money, so I think I should just put it in aggressive for the next 20 years, and then when I'm 85, then there'll be a nice nest egg, additional nest egg. What do you think of that idea?
If you don't need the money, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I don't need the money, so.
See, that's the key, because you're at retirement age, quote-unquote retirement age. If you don't need the money and you're willing to let it ride for a number of years, all that growth that the Roth grows for all those years, there's no tax consequence. Not one nickel.
You think the government might change their mind?
I don't think so. Think of the hue and cry that would cause, Dennis. No way. You and I, we'd be marching on Washington, wouldn't we? No, I don't think
it's... wouldn't be abused, yeah.
So I don't think they're going to change their rules on that. I really don't. There would be such a backlash that everybody who ever even thought about it would get voted out of office. So I don't see it happening. Dennis, I appreciate the call. I really do.
Thank you.
Let's go to Jack and Gunnar Nagel. How you doing, Jack?
Good. Thanks, Steve, for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Yeah, my question or thing is about retirement. I retired 4 years ago at 62.
Okay.
And what I've experienced is probably like a lot of people have. You're not prepared for a lot of increases that come your way, like Medicare,
right,
medical insurance that drops, and you have subsidiaries that have to be picked up.
Yep.
Also, inflation and other things. So my thing is, you know, you're talking about you need at least 80% of what you were living on before you retired.
Yes.
I would plan for 110%. That way,
that'd be nice.
No surprises.
That's right. In other words, you're saying in your experience that you actually need just as much as when you're working as when you're retired. Your expenses do not go down.
Absolutely.
And then you have to keep up. Jack, I've heard people tell me this before. Many times it goes up, not because you're necessarily, you know, living a more lavish lifestyle, but what happens is you have a lot of freedom, and there's several things. Freedom means, well, I'm going to go have some fun. Fun sometimes costs money. The other side is what you pointed out. Well, as we all get older, medical costs tend to go up, not down.
Dramatically.
Yeah, and some of it, you know, if you have an illness, you need to be prepared for that. You know, that's one of my biggest fears, Jack, is, you know, Medicaid, Medi-Cal, Medicare, how much is that going to pay? And how much do I have to pay?
It's going to get less and less unless they get this thing corrected.
Yeah. Do you see that happening?
I have no clue, so I would say no.
Yeah, I think they're going to make us pay a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, because where are they going to get the money?
Taxes.
Or raise taxes. Yeah. Jack, appreciate the question. Appreciate the comment. I appreciate that. Yeah, everybody, just, you know, in retirement, you need to have money or you're not going to retire. And I'll say this. You don't have to retire. Retirement is not necessarily what we all think it is, where you just stop working and you kick back and you don't do anything. No, you might retire from what you don't want to do to something you do want to do and still get paid. You might cut back your hours, but not truly retire, maybe work part-time, or have special projects and become a consultant. There's different ways to do it, and I would suggest that you don't just cut and dry. I don't think you should just cut it off completely, because that's a shock to your system, trust me on this, both your financial system and your mental system. You know, all of a sudden, stop working. It's hard to do.
A quick reminder, if there's a term that you hear mentioned on the program but you're unclear about what it means or you have a question about it, we want you to ask. It's very likely that you're not the only one with that same question. 888-99-CHART.
Let's go to Bill in Pleasanton. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing good. You?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the call.
I have one mutual fund that's down about 40%. Mm-hmm. That's the meltdown. And it was down, and I just got the quarterly report, and it was down another 8%. You changed to a different fund, or?
Well, what's the description of the fund?
It's a Century Growth Fund.
Okay. Then what you want to do is you want to compare it. Go to Morningstar.com and compare it, that particular fund, with all other growth funds. Now, if it's a large cap, small cap, I don't know, mid cap, you need to know that is a large cap fund, growth fund. Then look at all large cap growth funds. If they were down 50% and yours was down 40, I know that's bad. You hate it and I hate it too, But if it outperformed its peer group, you want to stick with it. If the first quarter this year, the peer group is down 12% and yours is down 8%, you kind of want to stay with it. I know that doesn't sound good, does it? Doesn't feel good, doesn't sound good. But Bill, long term, if it's outperformed on the downside, hopefully it's outperformed on the upside as well. And it should make a very good comeback if it's better than the rest of its peer group.
Yes, it's done very well for me. I'm
going to suggest you give it another year. And as long as the same manager's there, Bill. In other words, he didn't leave, and now you got some rookie there. Time to leave if that's the case.
Okay, thanks very much.
Appreciate the call. Coming to terms with investing. The term is parity. Parity refers to two things being equal to each other. The term par value for a bond is similar to parity. Parity can also refer to two securities having equal value, such as a convertible bond and the value of a stock, if the bondholder chooses to convert into common stock. In exchange market, parity occurs when all brokers bidding for the same security have equal standing due to identical bids. This is parity. Parity can be used in many different ways. You can see the definition of parity because I probably have used it and I don't even realize it. But if you want the definition, you can go to investopedia.com and take a look. We're heading to the second part of the show for Invest Talk. Plenty of time to get your questions in. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART. Talk to me live. You can always do that between 4 and 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. 888-992-4278.
Our podcast will continue next. So here's how it works. You reserve a time when you can spend an hour on the phone or Skype, and then email copies of your statements and such to Steve. He has a chance to look them over and offer some suggestions when you eventually connect. You can have a conversation, ask questions, and before the hour is up, you'll have a better idea of how your retirement plan is progressing and some new ideas for making it better. The process starts with you. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, and then Portfolio Review. You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. We're going to go to Jimmy and Sam Ramon. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, Steve. I'm a new listener, new to this whole investing thing. I actually have a investment set up with my union, but I've been looking to spend maybe $1,000 and get into my own stocks, building my own stuff, and I was wondering what you thought would be a good one to get into with that smaller amount of money.
Well, just to let you know, we can answer questions, but I can't give you recommendations. How old are you?
24.
This is a great time to start thinking about it because the market over time will give you, 10%. That's what it's done over time for the last 7,500 years. Mm-hmm. 10% return. The question is, a lot of people don't get that return because they have no clue what they're doing. One of the problems that most people do have is they let their emotions get involved with their decision making.
Mm-hmm.
When they see their prices are going down and the stock market's crashing, they get out. You gotta look longer term. When they see the market going up and just up, 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 they put more money into it. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, if you really wanna be successful, when you are at your saddest and you feel like you just wasted money putting in the market, that's when you put more in.
Uh-huh.
And when you're at your happiest, that you're making a ton of money over the years, and look at this stock, my stocks went up the last 6 months to 100%. Sell. Take it out. Take some profits. You play your own emotions that way, you'll be a lot better off. So the one thing you need to do is figure out how to evaluate stocks. How to determine whether this is a stock that's overpriced or is this stock on sale.
Uh-huh.
Stick with the price of stocks that are on sale, but at the same time, those same on-sale stocks, you want to be in an uptrend on a chart. In other words, the stock has been moving up consistently for a while. That's how you pick stocks.
Uh-huh.
If you give me a call, I will be happy to give you some value methods that are not very difficult. And then on the websites, there's a ton of places. One of the easiest way to evaluate a stock, and I'm going to give it to you right now, is take next year's growth rate of a stock, multiply that times its earnings estimates by the experts for next year. Remember, stocks look forward, not backward. So if the earning for next year is going to be a dollar per share, it's always a per share issue. If the earnings is going to be a dollar per share next year, and it's growing at 20% a year, multiply 20 times a dollar, and the stock price fair value is about $20.
Sounds good.
Okay?
Great.
Good luck, and you'll love it. I started at 21. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you.
888-99-CHARTER is my number, 888-992-4278. Let's go to Scott in Temecula. Hi, Scott. How you doing?
I am wondering about a 529 plan for my child.
Okay.
And I was under the understanding that there was another program that you could do. What my concern is if my child decides not to go to college, what happens to that money? And then is there another plan to where he could use it for, like, in a home and or college, whatever it is that he chooses?
Yeah, very good questions, Scott. A 529 plan is a state-sponsored plan. Each state has its own 529. Scott, are you considering one to California or Illinois or where?
I am in California, and I can purchase anywhere, correct?
Yes, you don't have to buy a California plan. Matter of fact, California plan is not the best.
It's right.
Illinois is the reason why I even mentioned Illinois, because I know they have a good plan.
Okay,
let's talk about the difference between a 529 plan and what's called a Coverdell IRA. Used to be called the educational IRA. It's called a Coverdell IRA or Coverdell ESA. They're trying to make it confusing.
Uh-huh.
But just think about it. It's called a Coverdell, and it's an IRA-type plan.
Okay.
Now, Coverdell, you could put up to $2,000 a year in it for your child, which is much more limited than a 529. 529, you could put up a lot more money.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so there's that issue. But a 529 plan has to be used for accredited college education only. A Coverdell can be used for any educational program. Your child is a boy or girl?
Boy.
And he wanted to go to beauty school?
Yeah.
You could use the Coverdell money for that. You
gotcha.
Wanted to go to a truck driving school? You can use a Coverdell money for that.
Gotcha.
But you couldn't use the 529 because that's for an accredited college. So we're talking about Berkeley or UCLA or somebody.
Right.
You know,
what
difference.
If we did a 529 plan and he decided that he did not want to go to college at all?
Okay.
What happens to the account?
Okay. Then the 529 plan has to be rolled over to somebody else to be used for college. You can take the money, but you will be penalized.
Probably a great deal.
Yeah, you do not want to do that. Okay, Scott, the best way to do this is have three children and take one 529 plan.
Right.
If the first one doesn't use it, roll it over to the second one. If the second
right,
one doesn't
right.
use it, roll it over to the third one. Are you going to have more than one child?
I would like to. I'm trying to talk my wife into it, but maybe I can use this as a hook.
Okay, there you go. I would suggest you start with a Coverdell. Because you can even use that for, like, elementary school, a private school. You can use it for, like, computers and books.
Okie dokie.
Good luck. And Scott, don't think the laws won't change. There's going to be changes as he gets older and older and older. There'll be changes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, keep track of them.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Gas prices are going up in 7 states. And they're doing it because taxes are going up. In Pennsylvania, it's going to go up to 8 cents a share. Go up 8 cents a share, 8 cents a gallon, okay? And that's the highest increase for all the 7 states that are going to go up. And that makes it 58 cents per gallon state tax. You add in all the federal tax and you're probably up $1 or more per gallon. That's Pennsylvania. Then the next state is Michigan at 7.3%. Their tax is 37.8% a gallon. Nebraska is going up 1.5 cents to 29. Then you got Georgia, North Carolina, India, and Florida. They're all going up less than a penny, 30 to 36 cents per gallon in state tax. Now, all this money, according to these people, they're using it for infrastructure improvements to the roads and bridges and all that other stuff. You know, I've heard this happen. Well, we got to raise taxes because of this. We got to raise taxes because of that. what it tells me, I've been watching this so many years, and one of the reasons I always say no to every tax increase, because governments are never satisfied with the taxes they get. They always want more. And when they start increasing percentages, it's very expensive. We already pay huge gas tax. But here in California, that money goes into the general fund, and they just spend it. So I always thought the gas tax should be go to fixing the roads. What have you been doing with all the previous gas tax money? Anyways, those are seven states that it's going up. I just want to remind everybody that we pay huge taxes at the pump. Huge. Dollar a gallon. Yeah. I mean, that's a big part. And then they charge sales tax on top of that, which really, really irritates me. You pay sales tax on your tax. Where does that make any sense, any logical sense, maybe to a politician? Our free risk analysis tool not only evaluates and quantifies your risk tolerance, it also the first step in determining if your current retirement portfolio, with its mix of stocks, funds, and bonds, and cash, is exposing you to the risk that you want to take, or are you overexposed, too much risk in your holdings. It's an easy way to figure out if you're matching your risk tolerance with how you're investing. It's free. You start by going to investtalk.com and answer the questions. There's like three or five of them, and we come up with a risk score. It's very easy. It's a free risk analysis. That's investtalk.com.
A recent survey shows that many investors are not looking closely at their investment options that could make a considerable difference in achieving a financially secure retirement. So many Americans simply won't have the money they need to enjoy their longer lives if they don't start investing differently. If you'd like a second opinion on your retirement accounts and see some options, sign up for a checkup with Steve. He does a few of these each month. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review.
Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Hi, Steve. I just wanted to try to get a little feedback on my retirement.
Sure.
Right now, I'm looking at within the next 5 years or so leaving the company.
Okay.
And right now we're in Vanguard, and I got like a bulk of my funds in PrimeCap. That's
yes.
About half.
Right.
And I'm kind of like divert more into like Wellington.
Yes.
And into the money market right now.
Okay.
And I was just wondering, like, if the market goes up, you know, to the 14 or 14.5 area,
yes.
I was wondering what you felt like if I were to, like, divest some of the prime cap into either Wellington or money market.
Well, money market is just money market. You're going to make 3% or so. That's it.
Right.
The two, Wellington and the prime cap, are stock accounts, equity mutual funds. So they're
right.
Tied to the stock market. And you're saying you're going to retire and shortly?
Within the next 5 years or so.
Okay. Well, 5 years is a long time. I would probably exit the money market for the time being.
Uh-huh.
If you've got 5 years, I'd exit that money market, move it into the prime cap or the Wellington.
Oh, okay. Because actually, I was just trying to figure out what would be the safer of the, you know.
The safest of those three is the money market. That's the safest.
Uh-huh.
But you're not going to get much return either.
Right.
You know, you presented to me, Art, that maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
5 years is a goodly amount of time. And I think
uh-huh.
In 5 years, the stock market's going to be higher than it is now, a lot higher. If that's all you have, I would probably be fully invested and then maybe in 2 or 3 years start to get more conservative and more conservative, more conservative, until you get not so exposed to the market.
Yeah, because basically that's what I was trying to figure out here, you know, my exposure in the market as far as being in. And if we had another downturn type of a thing.
Art, I'll tell you this. The chances of us having a market like we had in 2000, 2001, 2003 are extremely slim, very rare. That's probably not going to happen. You never can say it won't happen. Anybody
uh-huh.
Say it could, but you don't see that once in a generation or so.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we've already had it, that big downturn, so the chances are good that we're not going to have it again. And I do think that the whole world is growing very strong, and that is going to make stock prices go up.
Oh, okay.
I would be more comfortable the risk. If I had 5 years, I'd be comfortable with risk.
As far as the diversification goes,
yes.
Right now I'm probably about, like I say, about half in prime cap. Would you divert any of that into like Wellington to like kind of like even them out?
Well, what you need to do is look at, if you look at the holdings of both those companies, both those mutual funds, those are mutual funds at Vanguard, everybody.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. I think you'll find a lot of overlap. In other words, one company owns a lot of the same, both of them will own a lot of the same stocks.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I would check out that. Go to Morningstar.com and just check the top 10 holdings of both companies and see how much overlap. I think you'll find there's a lot, and therefore there doesn't really make a lot of difference which way you go.
Oh, okay. Are the funds basically like the same size as far as?
They're both very large.
Oh, okay. So the downside is like mitigated a little bit.
Well, almost own the whole stock market. So if you think the stock market's going to go up, probably both those will go up. The stock market's going to go down, both those will go down.
And lastly, as far as I've got like only about 5% in the Index 500. I was actually thinking about divesting that and putting it into the either the prime cap or Wellington.
Well, what I would do before you did that, Art, is compare the performance of the S&P 500 the last, 3 years, 5 years, with those others two, and see which one's been outperforming.
Oh, okay.
And I'd go with the one that's outperforming.
Right now, you'd say that as far as the money market goes, you'd probably put some of those funds back into the market then?
Yes, I would. I would start putting them back in the market. I wouldn't do it all at one time, but I'd do it over the next few months, yes.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Art. Appreciate the call.
Thanks a lot.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Time for InvestTalk Personal, everybody. The day-to-day money choices we all make that we need to think about. So not all money savings moves are really good. In other words, you're going to save money by doing X, Y, Z. Is it really good for you? For instance, buying cheap stuff, cheap furniture, cheap appliances. You buy all the cheap stuff. And that old saying, you get what you pay for, does come back and bite you sometimes. You get what you pay for. So the cheap stuff may not be cheap in the long run. It may be expensive because you're going to have to replace it shortly. I've done that myself in the past, buying the stuff that's cheap, and it seems to always come back and bite me. Now I do just the opposite. I buy the good stuff. Buying something just because it's on sale. Huge sale. You got to buy it because it's 50% off. You got to go buy it. But, you know, you really have to think, do you really need it, or is it going to use it? I mean, how worthless is it if you're not going to use it? Buying something you don't need at a reduced price is still buying something you don't need. And finally, setting up too strict of a budget. Is it really smart to say I'm not going to buy it until it's really, really cheap? Well, you may never buy it. You're buying something you need, and you're not going to buy it because you're too cheap. So it works both ways. It works both ways. So those are three things that you probably should consider. The most common mistake I see people is buying things they don't need. They don't need it, and they buy it because they want it. Then they don't use it. And I have to admit that sometimes I do that myself. I hate to admit it, but I do that sometimes myself. Buy something because I want it, but I really don't need it. And then it goes to waste. You're listening to Invest Talk, everybody. We're glad you're here with us today. The invitation is always open. Give me a call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The number is 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278.
What are the dangers of short selling? Can anybody do it? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk. Listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, we're going to talk to Manu in Fremont. How are you doing, Manu? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Good to Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Actually, I listen to your program. I don't miss it. So I don't call all the time. I have a very general question regarding the earnings and the balance sheet.
Okay.
Regarding the earnings, the companies are big and small. From Alcoa or United Technology, everyone have the estimate exactly in cents. So a dollar and cent, do you think they manipulate how they can predict earnings a year ahead?
I'm going to tell you something that you probably already know, and the answer is yes. Corporations manipulate their earnings all the time. I remember back in the 90s, GE would beat their earnings expectation every quarter by a penny or two, like clockwork, every quarter, year after year. How's that possible? Unless you have to manipulate it. And they did manipulate it. And corporations manipulate it all the time. So you got to take everything they say with a grain of salt. You know, not all corporations do it, Manu, but many of them do. And how do they do it?
Billions.
Yeah. Well,
billions involved.
Yeah.
No punishment.
Yeah. GE was billions. It's billions. It was, you know, how do they do that? How do they do it? Well, they adjust the depreciation schedules. They pull forward earnings or push back earnings into the next quarter or bring it into this quarter's from sales that maybe haven't closed yet. They do everything, and they're not doing anything necessarily anything illegal, Manuel. They're not, but they are manipulating them. They want the numbers to come in a certain way.
Okay. Other question is also balance sheet. Mm-hmm. On the balance sheet, what kind of debt is shown? Is it a common? I don't know. They show the bonds related debt or not. Balance sheet we read on the Yahoo or anywhere, does that have only the normal debt or all the debt the company has?
It would usually show, I'm going to say, all the debt the company has, but there is off-balance sheet accounting going on. So there are things that are off the balance sheet that you have to know about. And they do report them, but they report them in sidebars or footnotes off balance sheet items. And most of the time, those off balance sheet items are just small and insignificant. But sometimes they can get pretty big, especially if their company's trying to hide something. You know how I complain about Chinese companies and how dishonest I are with their numbers? Though that same thing happens here in the United States, just on a much smaller scale. Okay? Thank you, man. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Do you have questions about FDIC security, mortgages, money market funds, losses to your retirement plans? Give us a call today, 888-99-CHART.
Do you know what a news dump is? And this kind of goes to Manu, you know, when you're talking about companies and reporting things. A news dump is where a company releases information when no one is paying attention. Friday late is often. Friday before a holiday is often. And just as an example, Halliburton announced Friday afternoon two bits of information. Friday afternoon before the Christmas holiday. One was a bid for a Russian company that they wanted to buy. A Russian company. Why would I call that? The other one, just so we know, that one was announcing a settlement of a lawsuit from an old lawsuit. Just take it from me. Both those things were something they didn't want to have a lot of people pay attention to because of the politics involved. They didn't want anybody to notice. That's called a news dump. Friday evening before the close of the market or after the close of the market even, very common. So by Monday you forgot about it or you didn't pay attention, didn't see it. Very common. Called a news dump. Our time's up for this hour. Remember, to assess your investment performance, you need to begin with your original investment plan. And then a process. Do you need help shaping that plan? Write me a note. Let me know on investtalk.com. Just click on Contact Steve, and I promise I will get back to you in email form at the very least. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Justin Klein and I, along with everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. And let's meet here again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.